We have a informational meeting coming up on Monday, the what? 26th. You guys are, Susan, right here, front row, rocking it this morning. Thank you. The 26th at Tom and Shauna Spigner's home at 6:30. So if you're interested, dial into that meeting. We're going to Guatemala. But the truth of the matter is we can't have a heart for the nations without having a heart for our neighbors. And it's easy to invest $1,200 and go on a mission trip and love some orphans in Guatemala. But God wants us to go next door. And he wants us to love our neighbors and to know our neighbors' greatest fears, hopes, and dreams. And so a lot of us, you know, when we read the story of Jonah, sometimes I think we feel like, man, if we could just get a word from God like Jonah got, like go to this place, we'd be like golden. We actually already have that word. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. You can just go out your front door and you start with your neighbor, loving them well. God may be calling you back to him in a close relationship with him. God may be calling you to serve him in a particular kind of a way, and maybe you're having this experience of running from God. Well, God pursued Jonah. He's in the middle of the ocean, and God essentially saves his life by having a giant whale-like fish swallow him. Now, some of you, immediately, that's where you check out. You're like, man, this story, this is like a childhood myth. There's no way this could happen, you know. Like, really? A whale? I had the privilege years ago to swim in the Atlanta Aquarium. Have you ever been there? Raise your hand if you've been at the Atlanta Aquarium. I don't mean in the water, but you've been there. You've walked through it. Well, I had the privilege of swimming through the Atlanta Aquarium with the whale sharks. Massive. And, if you need help, like, discerning whether or not Jonah is legit, historical, you know, rather than, like, myth, fairy tale, go swimming in the Atlanta Aquarium with the whale sharks. And then I think you'll read the book of Jonah and you'll think, yeah, that could happen. That could happen. I mean, those things are so massive, I could have easily just slid right into the mouth of one. Now, how God kept Jonah alive in the belly of the whale, I don't know. But God was gracious to Jonah because Jonah would have drowned in the middle of the ocean, and God swallowed him with the whale and saved his life. And if you don't hear anything else this morning, just hear that, is that if you're running from God, he's pursuing you with his grace and his love. And he wants to give you a second chance of walking with him, of knowing him, and of obeying him. That's good news. That's who our God is. Well, we pick up chapter 2 where Jonah is now in the belly of the whale. And we get his prayer. This is interesting. I want us to read Jonah. We'll pick it up actually in chapter 1, verse 17, and we'll read all of chapter 2, and then we'll dig in. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. And the flood surrounded me, all your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars were closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. And those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Would you pray with me? Just bow your heart before the Lord and just say, Lord Jesus, if you're there, would you speak to me today? Just from your heart. Lord Jesus, if you're there, would you speak to me today in Jesus' name? Amen. Well, I want you to look at verse 1 and 2 chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Distress is real in life, isn't it? Distress is really the only thing, like, the only thing that comes when we run from God. You can't have peace and run from God. Only distress. Only misery. You might have some temporary fun. You might experience some wild and crazy things. But in the long run, if you're running from God, you're not going to have peace. You're not going to have joy. You're not going to experience hope. You're only going to have distress. And some of us this morning, the circumstances of our life are bringing distress, and we don't know if it's God's loving discipline or if it's just the reality of living in a broken world. But we would acknowledge that our life right now is filled with distress. Jonah's experience of distress was intense, wasn't it? Like, I don't know when the seaweed wrapped around his head, but at some point in time, he's like wrapped up in seaweed, and now he's in the belly of a fish. Anybody claustrophobic? Anybody ever got stuck in an elevator? You know, like, that's when you know you're claustrophobic, right? When you get stuck in an elevator and you're like, oh my goodness, what's, you know, like, somebody call the fire department, get us out of here. Jonah was stuck, and he's like, he's wrapped up in seaweed, and he's in that moment of distress. So what do you do if you find yourself this morning in a moment of distress? I like to see life in seasons. I just think it's helpful. You kind of have, you just have seasons of life, right? You're a kid, you're an adolescent, you're a teenager, you're a young adult, you're newly married, you're now young married with kids, or you're a single adult professional climbing the ranks, right? You've got all those, you know. And then you're married with kids, and kids are in high school, and kids are in college, and then they're out of the house, and then you're a boomer, and then you're in that last little season where you want life to count, right? You have these seasons of life. And then you can, like, break those seasons down on micro levels, right? Well, that was that season I was running from God. And most of us can look back and see those seasons. Well, this was the season I was running from God, or we weren't in church in this season, or I didn't read my Bible for 2 years in this season, or I'm not even a Christian. Maybe that's you this morning. I'm not even a Christian, and I sensed God was pursuing me, but I was running from Him in that season, you know. Maybe this morning you're physically here, but in your mind and heart you're running from Him, you know. Like, you're here because somebody guilted you into it or twisted your arm into it, and you, if you were just keeping it real this morning, you would say, I'm not even here. I'm physically here, but I'm not even here. I'm looking at my clock. I'm ready to get out of here. I have no interest. I have no interest in God. Well, the only place that can lead us to is distress, and that's where Jonah was. And I just want to, like, just simply ask the question, what do we do if we find our place in a season of distress, on a day of distress, in a moment of distress, in a 10-year span of distress? What are we to do? Whether it's God's loving discipline or whether it's just the reality of living in a broken world, what are we to do? Jonah prayed. Look at verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed, verse 1 rather, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, look at verse 2, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. What is prayer? Maybe you're new to this whole thing, and you're like, okay, I hear you. I think I know what prayer is, but I'm not quite sure. What is prayer? It's talking to God. And you may be like, well, I don't even know if God exists. That's okay. You can talk to God whether you know He's there or not. You can talk to Him and say, God, I don't know if you're there. I don't know if you're real. But if you're real, I want to talk to you. That's what prayer is. It's talking to God. Prayer, think about it this way. Prayer is more about relationship than ritual. So if you're new to church, it may feel like religious, or it might feel like a ritual, but that's not what prayer is. I mean, there's a lot of religion in the world that's filled with ritual, but Christianity is the living God coming down to be in a real relationship with His people, with His children, with those that He made. So it's not about ritual, it's about relationship. That's what prayer is. But what I find, and you probably find this too, is that when we're in distress, prayer is often the last thing that we do, not the first thing. And what do? We do all kinds of stuff. Sometimes we try to sleep it off, you know. Sometimes we try to exercise it off. Sometimes we try to drink it off. We've got this distress, you know, it's going on. Sometimes we try to justify it away. Do you know what? Like, we're running from God or whatever, and then maybe we compare ourselves to other people, you know? Well, I'm not running as far away from God as they're running away from God. But we find ourselves in this season of distress or this moment of distress. Some of us just binge Netflix, right? You know? Like, that's where we take our distress, just to Netflix. And it might numb us, solve it for a moment. We have this distress, and some of us, we just get lost in work. Stress hits in, and we kick it in sixth gear with work. And we just lose ourselves in our job. Well, the story of Jonah reminds us that when we are in distress, it may be God graciously pursuing us and disciplining us in his love, and that he is ready to hear our prayers. That's what I want you to see in verse 2. Elijah's going to come up, our worship leader. He's going to come up. I'm going to ask him a few questions because he's got an interesting story. I just want you to hear him. Alex, would you help us with the chairs? And we'll just sit for a moment as we talk. But look at verse 2. This is what I don't want you to miss. Is that when you choose to talk to God, he says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress. And look at verse 2. And he answered me. Do you see that? What's up, dude? How you doing, man? Elijah's little boy's got his jean jacket on this morning, too. I couldn't help but take a picture of him. A little mini-me. He's looking good. When we pray, we get what Jonah got. A God who hears our prayers. A God who's there when we pray. He's not distant. He's not far away. He's right there. And it's like the proverbial treadmill. We may think we've run far away from God. You haven't. You can't get away from him, right? And so you're trying to get away from him, and you're trying to harden your heart to him, and you don't want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you about that issue. Everything else, Lord, you can have. I'm going to give you everything else, but not this area of my life. And then finally, when you turn around and you talk to God about it, he's right there to hear you. He's right there. He's not like us, right? He's not like us. He's ready to be gracious. How you doing?
Doing good.
Good. was it hard sitting in there not leading this morning? No. Or was it refreshing?
It's refreshing, but knowing that Jacob Wynn and the rest of the worship team, they do such a great job. I had confidence.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it's good. Jacob's like a worship Yoda.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. He's been doing it a long time. Well, you kind of had a Jonah story.
Yes.
So would you just briefly tell us some of your Jonah story?
So after, you know, growing up in the church, at a young age, I felt the call of ministry in my life. But my grandfather was a pastor. I saw what ministry was at first hand because he lived with us. And that scared me. So knowing that I had that call in my life, I always, rejected it. Growing up, and then got married. And then there was the crash in 2008, 2007. So financially, I was just in a bind. I couldn't find work, and I was like, I had this desire to serve. I knew I had a calling to serve, but that was for God's kingdom. But I used that as a way to say, well, that desire to serve, well, let me just serve the military. I was able to be financial, have financial stability, but also fulfill that desire of serving. And that's something that's been in my family as well. We have this desire to serve. So I have members of my family that serve in ministry, but also in the military. So I said, okay, let's go. And with my wife's permission, I joined the military in the Army in 2013, and then was stationed at Fort Campbell. Immediately as I was stationed at Fort Campbell, my body began to break down. I was maxing out all my PT tests and all that stuff. And so in that moment, when I stepped foot in Fort Campbell, my body started to fail. It was all these questions of why. I made it this far. I made it through this. I made it through that. Why, God, why? And God started to show that it was because he was letting me do what I wanted to do. But it was time for me to do what he had called me to do.
Wow.
So in that moment, with my wife, we decided to...
Could you say that again? You just say what you just said again. Like, God was allowing you to what?
He allowed me to do what I wanted to do.
Wow.
But it was him showing me that it was time for me to do what he wanted me to do.
Gosh, you guys can relate, can't you? I mean, there's all these areas that Jesus wants to be Lord over our life that he speaks into us and he says, I want this area of your heart. I want you to love your neighbor here. I want you to be kind to your spouse here, right? I want you to serve in the church. Whatever it may be. Maybe somebody here this morning is like, your story is Elijah's, where it's like, you sense God calling you to ministry. I mean, I can't think of a more noble alternative, right? You know? The military, hello, surely God, that'll be okay, right? Yeah, good try.
Yeah, good try.
Good try.
Yeah. So the ailment started to come, and I was like, something has to change.
What happened to your body? What?
I fractured my ankle. I have arthritis, tendonitis, and ligaments just move. Nothing snapped yet.
How old are you?
30.
And you have arthritis in your knee?
Both knees and my back, yes. Wow. Things got worse and worse, and kept rolling my ankle, kept fractures and everything, and kept missing deployments because of my body started failing every time it was time to gear up to go.
I mean, just call a timeout real quick. Now, your body may be failing you today, and it may not be God lovingly disciplining you. Yeah. You may be blameless before the Lord. You may have confessed and repented of every known sin in your life. You may not be running from God. You may be walking really intimately with God. And just because your body is failing you doesn't mean that God is lovingly disciplining you. It may just mean that you're living in a broken world where we cry out, Lord Jesus, come and give me a resurrection body that will never fail me again. And he will do that for everyone that's his child. That's the good news of the gospel. Listen on the podcast. Go, if you didn't listen to it, listen to the kingdom of God, our expectation. If your body's failing you and you want to have a little bit of biblical perspective on it, go back to the podcast and listen to that. But your testimony is that you think that was God lovingly disciplining you in your life.
Yes, because in my head, I was going to 20 years in the military, get the highest ranking that I possibly can achieve. And if God wanted me to plug into a local church where I was at, I would do that. But what was first was the military. What was first was achieving the best that I can achieve in the military. So I had to sit it down and reflect. I wasn't reflecting. I was more of just doing what I had to do and what I wanted to do. So in that moment, I was forced to sit down and really see my life and where God was leading me. And because of that, I was led to be able to be plugged in at First Baptist, Clarksville, downtown. And that's where God really said, this is loud and clear in my life, like all leading up to it was for this moment for you to really step into what I have for you. And so I said, and that was the time of me actually exiting out of the military. Everything happened right when I was getting out of the military, and I was like, okay, Lord, I'm not moving back home. I'm gonna stay here with my wife and my oldest son, and we're just gonna live out in faith. This is what you're gonna tell us to do, okay? And we'll take it from there. We'll leave it to you. And ever since then, he's been guiding my steps, my path. He's been providing for me. I've been plugged in different ministries and been able to see what God's called in my life, and I accepted that for him.
Yeah, so if somebody's running from God this morning, what would you say to him?
If somebody's running from God this morning, every runner has to pause at one moment to catch their breath.
Wow. Wow.
So when you're catching your breath, look around and see where you're at and ask yourself if this is where I need to be or this is where God needs me to be.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, man. We're so glad. We're so glad you said yes to the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Love you, man. So maybe this whole prayer thing is new to you. Maybe this whole thing that there's a God who knows you and loves you and is pursuing you with his grace is new to you. So where do you start with this prayer? Stop everything else. So if you're going to talk to God, stop everything else. Turn the phone off. Turn the TV off. Find your place. God appointed Jonah's place. It was the belly of the fish, right? But find your place. I love to pray and walk in Rotary Park and get alone with the Lord. I love to do that. But you've got to stop everything else and find your place and then just talk to God. Talk to God. I know it sounds so simple. It sounds almost elementary. But that's the powerful thing about about pushing ritual away and allowing a real relationship with God to come alive is where we really begin to talk to Him and we pour out our heart to Him and we tell Him every burden and every... This is what I love about God is that He cares about every little thing in your life. When I was growing up, I had this kind of relationship with God where if I would lose my keys or if I would like misplace a hat, I would pray to God first thing immediately. But now I've gotten so sophisticated in my faith, I'm like you. Like, it's like one of the last things I do is talk to God about it. We can talk to God and He hears us immediately. He wants to hear us. I want you to see verses 8 and 9 because here we really see what was going on in Jonah's heart. Look at verse 8 and 9 with me. Chapter 2. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope in steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. So essentially what was going on with Jonah was idolatry, idol worship. And so that's the struggle with all of our lives is we were created to be a worshiper. God made us to worship Him. But when sin came into the world, that messed it all up. And we started worshiping other things. We started worshiping evil things and we started worshiping good gifts that God gives us. So some of us, we've gone down those pathways where we've worshiped evil things that are really destructive pathways. But others of us, we're far more subtle in our idolatry where we begin to worship the good gifts that God gives us. So think about all the good gifts in your life that God gives you that you love a lot. I mean, for me, it's my spouse and my family. But when I put those people in the place of God, I'm committing idolatry. And look back at what Jonah says. When we pay regard to vain idols, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. In other words, what Jonah is saying here is something that's true, is that we can't take hold of one idol and worship it and take hold of God's hand and enjoy His love at the same time. God's not mocked. He won't accept double-minded worship. The scripture says that in Revelation, it says, God says, I wish that you were cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. So it's just God saying, I want your heart. I want your all. I want to be your God. I don't want to be a part of your life. I want to be the centerpiece of your life. So you're like, okay, I get it. I don't want to worship all these. I don't want to worship the bad things in my life. I don't want to worship the good gifts in my life. We can worship anything. We can worship our job. We can worship sports. It's what we give our affection to. It's what we give our time and energy and allegiance to. That's how we determine what we're worshiping, is we take an inventory of what has my allegiance today, what has my time today, what has my energy today. That's what I'm worshiping. So I ask you the question today, are you worshiping a vain idol or are you worshiping the Lord? Look at what Jonah does. He was worshiping a vain idol, and his idol was himself. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. But look at verse 9. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. This is a glorious prayer of repentance. Jonah made a decision to stop worshiping himself and to begin to worship God. Where was Jonah in this moment? Still in the belly of the fish. Listen, so many of us, we want to manipulate God and we can't. We want to play a game with God, and we can't. We want to do this thing with God where, God, if I scratch your back, you'll scratch mine. And that's not the way it works. Jonah's in the belly of the fish, and he says, God, in the belly of this fish, I'm choosing to worship you. In the belly of this fish, I am choosing to forsake my other idols. I will, with the voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. So I just want to ask you today, are you willing to worship God for who He is and not for the good circumstances He puts in your life? Are you willing to worship God today for who He is, not because He fills in your wish list? God does not exist as like some cosmic Santa Claus where we just ask Him what we want and He gives it to us. That's not who He is. He is the Holy One. There is no one like Him. He's worthy of our worship and our devotion. And as Jacob said earlier today, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. The good news is if we do it now and here on this earth, joy is the fruit of that in our life. Joy is. God is pursuing us in His gracious love. It's so good. So set away your idols even before God gives you relief from the distress. Don't tell God, God, I'll set away the idols if you give me relief from the distress. Tell God, God, I'm gonna set aside my idols, whether you give me relief from the distress or not, because I know relief is coming one day. Full relief, forever relief. I know it's coming. That's the hope that we have. Look at verse 10. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Jonah points to Jesus. Do you see this? This is crazy. Years before Jesus becomes a man and walks this earth, Jonah is in the fish for 3 days. He's in the fish. He gets right with God. And the fish vomits Jonah up on dry land. Do you see this? Jonah points to Jesus. Do you see it? Jesus came in order for us to have no doubt in our mind that God wanted a relationship with us. He became a man. And he lived among us to say, I want to identify with you. I want to walk among you so that you know and you don't doubt I love you and I want to be with you. So Jesus came and he lived among men to show us he wants to be with us. And then Jesus died on the cross. What's that all about? He took the penalty for our sin on the cross. Jesus tasted judgment so that we could taste mercy. Jesus tasted God's wrath so that we could taste God's grace. Jesus had the Father turn his back on him so that we, his children, would never have the Father turn his back on us. And on the cross, Jesus bore our sin. He was buried just like Jonah in the belly of the fish. Jesus was buried in the tomb. And by God's power, he was raised from the dead so that none of us would doubt that eternal life is ours. You don't have to doubt if eternal life is yours today. You can know for certain that eternal life is yours by putting your hope in Jesus. You don't have to wonder if God's forgiven you today. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. When he died on the cross, his resurrection is like this exclamation point to say, you are forgiven. You don't have to doubt it. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to lay in your bed at night and think, is his blood enough for me? Is his death enough for me? The resurrection says, it was enough for you. It's enough for you. And so if you're here today and you're like, man, I need forgiveness, you can have it in Jesus. I need a new master. I need to quit running from God. You can run to God by trusting in Jesus. I just invite you, take that yellow card and on the back, if you want to receive Jesus for the first time today, just check that box and pray in your heart, God, I need Jesus. We'd love to talk with you and just celebrate with you about that. Maybe you've been running from the Lord with baptism. And as you saw the baptisms last week, deep in your heart, you knew, Lord, I'm giving you everything else, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And maybe today the Spirit of God just spoke to your heart and said, no, I want you to do that. I want you to do that. Maybe for you, you're like giving this church thing a second chance, you know? Maybe you've been burned by churches and all these things. And every time we come to the offering moment, you like cringe and you get tense and you start sweating and you hate it. You just hate it. Because you're just skeptical and you have a difficult time trusting that there's something good going on here. But maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to worship me with your finances. Don't run from God. Don't run from him. Don't run from him. Maybe you've got a neighbor that's really hard to love, and you just don't like them. They're just annoying as everything. And maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to love them. I want you to get to know them. Maybe they're really annoying and harsh and hard because they're really in pain. And maybe they've had some really painful things go on in their life. And the reason that they're so difficult to deal with is because deep inside they're hurting. And they just need someone to love them and to care about them and to look them in the eye and say, you matter. I care about your story. I want to know about you. Maybe your next door neighbor, your coworker, hasn't had anybody to ever do that in their life. So don't run from what God wants you to do. Walk with him. Walk with him. Would you do that today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for Elijah's testimony. Thank you for your grace to Jonah and your grace to us. We pray, oh God, you would You dissolve our fear. We pray you dissolve our fear. Let faith rise. As we sing, we pray in Jesus' name.